So let's begin. We were in the middle of discussing, we're towards the end of discussing the problem of takala, and then I want to turn to the issue of the mind. So just regarding the takala, because there's one very important point I want to elaborate. What we saw is that the Gemara uses this fascinating assumption that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala ayadam, based on the story of Pinchas Ben Yair and his chamor. The Gemara uses it in our Gemara here four different times. It's also used elsewhere in Shas, but this is definitely the greatest concentration. The four being, when it comes to Shechitas Kuti, again, I'm just going to tell the story over because I want to go on to other things. So I don't want to read all the cases except for the last case I'm going to look at for a minute. But basically, the Gemara tells a story that when Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Dino made a takana that you could no longer eat from Shechitas Kuti, meaning that it would be in the category of Shechitas Nevela. So at that point, some of the other Talmidei Chachamim continued to eat Shechitas Kuti. They continued to frequent the butcher shops that were selling Shechitas Kuti. And the question is, did they disagree? They knew and they disagreed, or they were simply unaware. And the Gemara basically assumes that they knew and they disagreed, or had they known, they still would have disagreed, because otherwise it would come under the rubric of takala and ena kodesh baruch hu mevi takala yada. That's case number one. That's how it gets introduced in our context. Then later on, that's on Hamad Beis. Then on Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells another story. I think Rav Zeira and Rav Asi, who went into an inn. They were taking a trip together, and they were, given dinner, which included beitzim, which was mitzumakim b'yayin. And I think it's Rav Zeira turned to Rav Asi and said, how can you eat that after he ate it already, which is fascinating? How could you eat that? That's Tarova's demai, because you don't know for sure that the innkeeper was Mafrish Trumas de Maestras, since the normally wouldn't be Choshed, but that's the Takana, that's the Din of Demai. The Din of Demai, as we saw last time, and we'll discuss it more today, based on the Sugya in Sota, that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he did a survey, and he found that Amei Aretz were negligent when it comes to the matter of Hafrashas Trumas de Maestras, somewhat negligent, and he was mitaken that in order to securely eat from something that is received from an amaretz, right, that you have to mafrish demai. So at one point the Gemara said, how could you possibly have eaten that? Isn't it tarovas demai? And then his response was lav adatoi. He said, I didn't think about that, which was a very honest response. It's a fascinating Gemara from them of points of view. And then even more fascinating is that he turned around and said to him, you didn't think about that, but in a Kaddish Baruch Hu maybe takal al yadam, so maybe I should look at the Makaros again to see, maybe there is no Isur of Tarovas Demai, and that's what we're going to discuss in a couple of minutes, the substance of Tarovas Demai. And therefore he came to the conclusion, he actually then went back, looked at the Mishnayos and other Makaros, and said, you know what, upon further reflection, since I ate a Kaddish Baruch Hu maybe takal al yada, that's what inspired him. But then when he looked at the Makaros, he became convinced actually there is no Isur of Tarovas Demai. So being safeguarded from eating Tarovas Demai, just like being safeguarded from eating Shechitas Kuti if it's Asur, comes under this rubric. That's case number two. Then comes case number three. That is on Vav Amud Beis. An equally fascinating story where the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir ate a yarek in Beit Shan. He was seen eating a vegetable in Beit Shan, apparently without being mafresh trumas amaisros in advance. Typically, up to that point, and then he got attacked. I'm getting ahead of myself. Rabbi Meir was seen plucking and eating a vegetable in Beit Shan, apparently without a freshest trumas amaisros. And then the Gemara tells the story that Rebbe was so impressed that he said, from there on, hitir as Beit Shan. He said that, you know, you don't have to be mafresh, you know, Trumas and Maisras in Beit Shan, because obviously this Maisarav, you know, proves that according to Rabbi Meir, Beit Shan doesn't have Kedusha Sa'aretz, Lagabe, Trumos, Umaisras. So he got attacked by his whole family, who basically said to him, don't we have a family Mesorah that until now we've always been Mafresh, Trumos, Umaisras, and Beit Shan? So, you know, I understand you're pressed with Rabbi Meir, but you're turning back on your back on your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your uncles, your cousins, the whole family tradition that Beit Shan is part of Kedusha Sa'aretz, at which point, Rebbe responded by saying, by applying the principle of Mokom Hinichu Lehisgader. Again, maybe we'll talk more about it going forward, which basically means that, you know, somebody who is a big Talmid Chacham, who has proper, authentic halachic credentials as one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, he doesn't have to be bound by the previous, you know, perspective. He can assess something anew. And if he's convinced based on the Makoros, obviously it takes a lot to overcome a Masorah that is deeply rooted. But if he is authoritative enough, and his proofs, I guess, are authoritative enough, then he can. And people shouldn't criticize him, because Mokom Hinichu Lehisgader, there's a tradition of Chiddush in Halacha by people who have those appropriate credentials. Of course, the appropriate credentials is the key, and this is an issue which, you know, since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, has occupied Klal Yisrael, namely, you know, who has those credentials? You know, who can be Mechadesh and who cannot? Rabim Chalolim Mipila, right? The Gemara says in Masechet Chagiga that you know, refers to somebody who is Mora Halacha when he's not Higia, you know, Lahora. So there's a hierarchy in Psak, but what Rebbe was saying was the ones with the credentials, they have something to say, and we respect their view. And occasionally we follow their view, even if it's mechudash. So then the Gemara goes on to say, well, maybe at one point the Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Meir was hungry, he wasn't thinking, and, you know, he just plucked a vegetable. And after all, no one interviewed Rabbi Meir and said to him, you know, he didn't say to them, they didn't ask him, you know, is there no chiv trumas amaisros in Beit Shan? So again, the Gemara says, well, that's not a credible explanation, namely that he just, you know, forgot what he was doing. He got distracted, because in the end of the day, you know, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Al Yada. And then comes the final one, the fourth one, which I'm just going to read just for a second. But that's the case, the actual original case of Pinchas Ben Yair. And that's where the Gemara actually tells this fascinating story. The first part of the story we don't need to review, but basically Pinchas Ben Yair was on a mission of Pidyon Shvuyim. He used miraculous means based on his, the urgency of his mission to cross over this body of water. And he brought a couple of people with him. They all ended up in an inn. The innkeeper wanted to feed not Pinchas Ben Yair, but his chamor. He puts saorim, barley, in front of the animal, and the bar tells the story that lo achal, the animal refused to eat it. And then chavtinu lo achal, nakrinu lo achal, they thought, you know, maybe he was fussy, he was an animal with, you know, elite, you know, tastes, he only, you know, drinks this kind of coffee, not that kind of coffee, only with the right filters, whatever it is. So finally, Omar Lahu, he said to them, Dilma Loma Asrin, maybe the reason that the donkey is abstaining from eating is because there was no hafrasha. So the Gemara says, then what happened was Asrinu the Achal. They were actually Mafrish Trumas Amitras. It was Demai, presumably. And then the animal ate. So that's the original story of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yada. Okay. And then the Gemara says, Amar, Aniya Zu Holachas Lasas Ritzon Kona, Vatem Achilin Osa Tevalim. Okay. So then, let's one other line, because I want to make a very important point. The Gemara says, Umi Mechaiva? Is there a Chiyuv Demai on Saorim that are going to be given to an animal? After all, Vatnan Holokech Lezera, Ulebehema, right? The kemach laoros, the shemen, lener, the shemen lasuchbos, akelim, patur miadmai. Yeah, we have a Mishnah that says that if you acquire zera, steed, right, or dog food, or animal food, or kemach laoros, or shemen lener, or shemen lasuch, kelim, meaning not regular components for a regular meal for human beings, then there is no chiyuv demai. So why would the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair be so makpid? There was no chiyuv demai anyway. I'm going to get to this point just in a minute. So the Gemara says, Hosama idmar lam Rab Yochanan lo shon ela shel lekocham betchila lebehema, aval lekocham betchila laadam v'nim lechaleim lebehema chayiv. This is the Gemara in Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says that this kula in Demai, that if you buy Zrayim or you know L'shem Behema or Shemen Lasuch Bo Kalim, etc., that's only if your initial purchase was targeted for these usages. However, if you buy, you know, with the intention of using it as food, and then later you convert it to something else, then under those conditions, there is no exemption, there's no patur of demai.
Harav, like this is my idea.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a chiyuv of giving because of demai, but there could be still a potential isur. You know, as even halacha, the rabbanan did not institute the idea of demai, there could still be food that was not tithed, that the ma'aser wasn't given. And therefore, if you're such a high level as Pinchas ben Yair, Hashem Yisbarach wouldn't let him have such a takala. Nothing to do with the halacha of whether it's a chi of a demai.
Oh, so this is the point I want to. I'm glad you mentioned that. So this is if that were true, then this Gemara would be very problematic if what you just said was true. So, but I think it's a very good point, and it's a point that the Shita Mekubetzes discusses. So I want to bring out this point. That's exactly why I'm here. We didn't collude, just for the record, but that's exactly what I wanted to bring out. This is something that the Shita Mekubetzes talks about, and the Marsha speaks about as well. Okay, what is the issue? The issue is as follows. So one more time. This is the fourth case of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala al yadam, and the possibility that this was, and that the fact that it was demai, right, was koveya. So if I understood Dr. Maybrook's question properly, I'll just ask it in the name of Shita Mekubetzes and he'll tell me if it's different. The Shita Mekubetzes asked the following question. I didn't put it in the sheets because it's not in the Bar Ilan. And I didn't have the time or patience to write it out myself. The Kasha, my kaparuch, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says this is an example of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala yodam because it's demai. Then the Gemara says, well, that's peculiar, that's problematic, because it's food for an animal, right? And animal food is not subject to the takana of demai. So there shouldn't have been a problem. That's the Gemara's question. Then the Gemara's answer is, this animal food was subject to demai, because it wasn't acquired or purchased initially as animal food. It was acquired as people food and only then, right, was converted into something else. And therefore, there's a chiyuv demai. That's a shaka v'tariya. So the Shita Mekubetzes al atar asks the following question. The kasha, my kaparich hakamash maya galya. The dilma galya kamei the hanu saorim. So let me make one thing clear. This idea that there's no takon of demai on zera or on machal behema, that's a din in demai. But it's not a din in tevel. Because if you have vadai tevel, even if it's you acquired it l'shem zera or l'shem, you know, machal behema, you're chayiv to be mafresh. It's only when it comes to the takana, we'll speak more about that takana soon, it's only when we speak about the takana of demai, then and only then do we have this kula. So the Shita of Gebetza says the following. What happened here? The chamor of Pinchas ben Yair refused to eat the food that he was given. Correct? So the Shita of Gebetza says, why does the Gemara assume that food, right, had to have been a problem of demai, such that they then discuss about zera and machal behema in demai? Maybe, in fact, it was kamish ma'egalia. The Rabbeinu Sholem knew that not only was there a chashash hafrasha, but kamish ma'egalia that there was no hafrasha, in which case it was tevel. And if it was tevel, then it's vadayasar, even if it's l'shem machal behema. So why does the Gemara ask, there's no demai in machal behema, forget about demai. For all we know, this is really tevel. Now the question is based on the assumption that the din of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitakal al yadam, right, should depend on kamish ma'egalia, on the nature of what it is that's being eaten. And that's a very good assumption, especially since the whole din of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitakal al yadam, which is a fascinating halacha, a little difficult for us to wrap our heads around. That's what we discussed last week. Meaning, what kind of din is this? It's not as if people never make mistakes. The Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't intervene, you know, b'toras hashgacha to save every tzaddik from any aveira. Right? That's what we saw last week, that according to Tosis, this is a special din in Achila. And even then, we were bothered, at least I was bothered, by, since Tosis themselves admit there's a difference between macholos asuros and shas isra achila, like a tzom or prior to Havdalah. So I was asking, and demai is like macholos asuros. Maybe number one, it's drabanan. And even as a macholos asuros drabanan, this is one of the things we'll continue to discuss, it's questionable, because machilin aniya demai, machilin achsanya demai. So even then we had problems, but that's what Tosa says. Tosa says either it's a chiddush in demai or a chiddush in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala. I tried to make the suggestion last week, why Achila is different. The Nitziv says because of Timtum Alev. That's a different perspective. The Ramban says it's actually not a savior of the, not saving the tzaddik, but saving the tzaddik from being a michshol to others, that the tzaddik can tolerate his own mistakes, and ain tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yechata. That's what the Ramban quotes. But what the tzaddik will not be able to tolerate is that he unwittingly should be responsible for the mechsholim of others. And I think it's a very inspiring view of the Ramban. Either way, the point is that this whole idea of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitakal al yadam, according to all Rishonim, has to be a limited idea, because we know from real life and we know from cases in the Gemara that there were plenty of, you know, very admirable people who didn't, who were not, you know, who didn't benefit from this particular siyata d'shmaya. So, if this is a din of siyata d'shmaya, and we're trying to understand it as best we can, wouldn't you think that it should depend on kame shmaya galya? It's all about the Rabbeinu Shalom's intervention, right? And that's the idea behind it. So you would think it also should depend on his unique, you know, knowledge of what it is that's taking place. So in any demai case, right, why should we assume that it's about demai? Maybe we should assume it's about tevel. Frankly, if we did assume that, it would answer my questions. What did I ask a second ago? That the whole application of takala in a kadosh baruch hu maybe al yado, maybe takala al yado, tzadikim in a kadosh baruch hu maybe takala al yado, right? If it's a din of machalas asuros, it's hard to understand it in demai. You could have said that every case that looks like demai, where you have this case, it's really a case of tevel. Tevel is real machalas asuros. However, what we'll see, what you're about to see, or what we're beginning to see, is the Shita Mekubetzes, who asked this question here, is about to blow up this whole idea. Okay, let me explain one more time. So the Gemara says, how could it be that there is a problem of demai in Saorim that are given to a behema, that there's no such takana in demai? Right? And then the Gemara gives an answer. Says the Shittim Gubet says, why does the Gemara even have to ask a question? For all we know, Kamishmaya Galia, this wasn't Dmai, it was Tevel. My Kaparech, Kamishmaya Galia, Dilma Gali Rachmana, Tahanu Sarum will have a Maasri, Lufika Chlo Shlita Kodesh Baruch Hishlita Kodesh Baruch Hulecha, Shana Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takalia De Behemton Shal Tzadikim. Now, I believe that, is that what you're asking, Dr. Maybrook?
100%.
Okay. So listen to the answer. The answer is a shocker, I think, but a fascinating shocker. I mean, I like it very much. V'yesh lomar, I lokchon mitchila lebehema, if indeed he acquired this originally for machol behema, af agav dekamish maya galya deloma asri, even though the Rabbanu Shalom knows that this particular item isn't just demai, but it is tevel, kivin shechachamim lo hitzrichu la'aser lo mikri takala umutra behema lechol. Okay, Shita Mekubetzes basically says that in the end of the day, the din of ena kadosh baruch hu mevi takala yadam doesn't depend on the objective facts which are only known to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, even though I'm adding this, even though it's his siyata d'shmaya, it's his hashgacha that is involved here. In the end of the day, what's important is man's halachic obligation, and therefore, if there's a kula, in other words, Pinchas ben Yair and his chamor come to this machal behema only b'toras demai, because al pidin, either cheskas kashrus or rove or some combination of those two, right, establish that minatora there's no chashash tevel, and therefore even if it's kameshmaya galia that it is tevel, since al pidin there's a heter to eat it, you wouldn't bring a korban. Right, your onus or misaseg or whatever you want to call it. Since al pidin, it's mutter to eat it, even though it's kamishmaya galia tevel, the din of ena kadosh baruch hu maybe takala yada doesn't apply. This is what I would call. Now again, that sounds shocking. It's ironic for sure, but I think the takeaway is this is an ish halacha perspective, even on Siyata Deshmaya, Nashgacha Pratis. And that's, I think, an incredible idea. Okay, so I wanted to leave you with that concept. Now, whether everybody agree, you have to look also at the Marsha, the different Girsos, but this is an interesting question, an interesting issue. Okay. Anybody have questions about that before I... Then I'm going to tell you the opposite of it in just a second. And... the parallel opposite, not a stira to it, but the parallel opposite of it, we'll see in just a second. Okay, did anybody have any questions, or we're clear? Okay, Ari's giving me the word. Okay, I always follow whatever Ari tells me. Okay, so let's continue. So now, having said that, I want to go back and look at, as I say, the parallel opposite of this. So let's look back again at the Gemara in the beginning of the Sugya on Vav Amud Aleph. I want to go through this to my Gemara now a little bit more slowly to analyze it. Good. The Gemara says here on Vav Amud Aleph in the middle of the page. One second. Yeah. The second story. The Gemara says as follows. Rab Zera Vravasi Iku Lupundika Diyai. Everybody with me? This is on Vav Amud Aleph. Aisil Kamayu. Right? They prepared supper for them, or lunch, and they brought in front of them Beitzim Tsumakos Biyai. Right? Eggs that were steeped in or whatever wine. And wine, of course, is Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar, of course, and there's a Chiyuv Hafrasha, and so for the Yayin is Tevel, could be Tevel, is Demai. So the Gemara says, Rab Zera Lo Achal, Rabbi had it right before, Ravasi Achal, and then the Gemara says, Amar Rab Zera Lo Ravasi, V'lo Chai Shmar L'Tarov is Demai. How come you ate it? Again, curious that he said it to him after the fact. You ate it already. Didn't wait. He didn't interrupt his meal, but he asked him afterwards. And then he said to him, Omar le lava datoy. He said, oh, I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't thinking about that. Whoops. So the Gemara says, even though he said whoops, right? Rab Zera said, or Rab Zera had such kavod for Avasi, Efsher gozra le tarovas tamai, umistayim milsad ravasi lemecha lisura. Like if there really was, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I should re-examine my assumption about there being an Iser of Tarovas Demai. Because would the Rabbeinu Shlomo have allowed Rab Zera to be Nichshal this way? Says the Gemara, Nofak Rab Zera, Dok V'yashkach, he began to look, you can see what's going on here, it's so fascinating. Meaning he began to re-examine all the evidence. You know, he said, bring me my file on Tarovas Demai. You know, and after going through the topic again, so he concluded the Tanan, that there's a Diuk in the Mishnah, Halokeach Yayin Lasas Atocha Murias, Olatocha Luntis, Karshinin Lasas Man Tchinin, Adashim Lasas Man Rasisin, Chayv Mishum Demai. That if you acquire components, ingredients, that you're ultimately going to put in a taroves, but you acquire them as ingredients. You first encounter them as standalone ingredients, as pure ingredients, as pure, in other words, tevel or pure d'mai. So then the halacha is that it's a chiv d'mai. Ve'in tzarech lomar mishum v'adayin. Of course, you know, any of these things, if it was tevel, then of course it would be aser. But the hein atzman mitam mutarin. But when it comes to the question of demai, if you encounter not the ingredients in pure form, but the taroves, then it's mutter. Mipnei shehein taroves. Velo gozral taroves demai. So again, this is what he discovered after analyzing this particular topic. Okay, good. So the Asun Daraisa, that's Rabbi Yosef Engel, of course. He asked the following question. And this is kind of the parallel opposite of what we just discussed. Right? The Gemara says that the Gemara says here that maybe there's no heter tarovas demai. I'm sorry, the Gemara says here that in a kodesh baruch hu maybe takala yadon. Right? And that moved Rab Zera, since Ravasi ate it, to re-examine that maybe in general there's no din of tarovas demai being part of the Gzeira, being part of the Iser. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel asks the question. He says, why did that motivate him? Why didn't he just assume that the Beitzim HaMetzumokos B'Yayin in this particular case happened to have been Yayin Shehufrash? In other words, every time you deal with Dmai, what is Dmai? Dmai is, right, Safek Hifrish, Safek Lo Hifrish. So just as the Shita Mekubetzos was saying, maybe in the case of Chamorosh or Pinchas Ben Yair, right, even if there's no, even if the case wouldn't qualify as Dmai, because Machol Behema Shel Dmai, there's no Takana, but maybe Kamishmaya Galia, that in that particular case it was Tavel. That was the Shita Mekubetzos' question. Rabbi Yosef Engel's question here is the parallel opposite question. He's saying the following. Rav Asi said, oh, Rav Zeira ate the Taroves Dmai. It must be that Taroves Dmai is permissible. No, why did he come to that conclusion? Why not just say, typically, you're not allowed to eat Dmai, because Dmai is always Safek Tevel, Safek Chulin. But maybe in this particular case, Kamishmaya Galya, right, that it was Hufrash. He ate it not because there's no din of Tarova's Dmai. He ate it because this particular case wasn't Dmai, or this Dmai, Kamishmaya Galya, was Chulin. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel's question. Can everybody see that? It's a little bit, you have to be into it. It's exactly the parallel opposite question as Shita Mekubetzos. Rabbi Yosef Engel's answer, fascinatingly enough, actually confirms a perspective that we're going to pursue a little more. And that is, how do we really look at Dmai? Right? Is Dmai really a suffix? I'll say it this way. Or is Dmai nitkan ala safek? Meaning Dmai is a chiyuv vadai when there is a safek. Okay, we have a mashal ma'adavar doma. I'll give you an example of this. Well, it's not exactly the same. We might speak about it next year for the psachim, which I think we're supposed to learn. The Ravid, in his comment on the Rif in the first parak of psachim, suggests that bedikas chametz, which is a din d'rabbanan, is nitkan ala safek. I'll tell you what the problem is. The Gemara's in Psachim and Daf Tes and Yud, especially, discuss all sorts of fascinating, you know, sveikos cases. A yisai, a rat or a cat, or, you know, a cat who is carrying a rat, or, you know, carrying a piece of chametz. Somebody's carrying the chametz. You know, run inside a house with a piece of chametz. You know, you check the house. You left some chametz there. You checked it again. It's gone. You know, all those kind of interesting cases that the Gemara has. So the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosas, were all troubled in all those cases. Some of the cases the Gemara says you have to do a bedika. You say, well, the whole din of bedikas chametz is a din d'rabbanan. Right? Because minat Torah. Speak about it next year. So if the safek is only drabanan, we know the rules. Safek drabanan is lakula. But some of those gemaras, so indeed, Rashi and Tosas, the way they get out of some of those gemaras, the Ravid actually in Yalach Hazaka, when he critiques the Rambam, he forgot about this idea. So they say, oh, we must be talking about a case where there's no bittul. So really the bedika is consequential on a doraisa level. Okay, that's a way to get out of it. But the Ravid on the Rif, and actually the Rambam and Yad HaChazaka, do not seem to take that tack. The Gemara doesn't say we're talking about a case with no bittul. So the Ravid is actually the one, ironically, who came up with the formula that bedikas chametz al hasafek nitkana, which means that when there's a safek, the drabanan was that you vadai are obligated to do bedika. We need to know, the din drabanan is that we need to know for sure that there's no chametz. It's not that there's a safek chametz and then we treat it like safek daraisa, safek drabanan. You know, we look at the stakes. That's what we typically do. Here and there in the halacha, it goes, by the way, in two directions. Sometimes we find the opposite. Sometimes you have dinim daraisa that don't tolerate a safek, or hagdaros daraisa that don't tolerate a safek. Like if you have a bechor misafek, there are some rayas that, you know, a bechor misafek doesn't get treated as a bechor, or a mamzer, right? The Gemara in the end of Kedushin. Gemara says, mamzer vaday om rachmana, velo mamzer safek. Right, there are certain dinim which, if it's a safek, the din doesn't apply. And there are certain dinim where if there's a safek, right, then you're vadai obligated to do so. We had actually one earlier in the year. We talked about safek tuma, right, birshus harabim, birshus hayachid. You have the question of the Ramban. As Ramban says, that every time you have a safek, you know, about truma, whether it's tameh or tahar, why don't you say safek tuma birshus harabim tahar? That's the rule we have. Safek tuma birshus hayachid tameh, safek tuma birshus harabim tahar. So the Ramban here in Chulin, we saw it earlier in the year, and Av Beis Amid Beis says, why don't you apply that rule? I mean, the Rishonim asked this question. Ali Tosis and Tosis already on Beis on Beis asked this question. Why don't you apply the din of Safek Tuma versus Arabim Tahar to case of Truma? So the Ramban says, I like to quote this a lot because I think it's a big yisod, that since about Truma we say Mishmeres Trumosai, what that means is that you have to safeguard Truma. With regard to Truma, the issue isn't just to resolve the Safek. You can't have a Safek. If you have a Safek, it's already Mufka from Mishmeres Trumosai, from Shmira. So what I'm trying to say, basically, Bikitsura, this is a very big, big topic, very important topic, obviously. Typically, we deal in the Halacha with a Safek as a Safek. Right? I mean, we're not sure. We don't know whether it's this or that. It could be lekula, it could be lechumra. We have a safek. And the rule is, right, that usually, sveka daraisa lechumra, and sveka drabana lekula. However, here and there, for drabanans and for daraisas, we have exceptions. Some daraisas we say safek lekula. I'm not talking about the Rambam even for a moment. That's an example I just mentioned about mamzer, you know, possibly Bechor, right? Because you need Vada, you need something of, whenever you need something that has a certain stature, right? It loses its stature when you're not sure about it. Conviction is a component in stature, right? Unequivocal standing is a component in stature. Right, so you have doraisas where safek, you know, is nothing. Lose everything. And then you have drabanans, which normally should be safek lekula, right, where you're machmir. That's the Ravid and the Rambam, actually, in Yad HaChazaka's view, somewhat, at least, about bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz nitkana ala safek. You need to make your home midrabanan a bias baduk. And what that means is that whenever there's a safek, you have to be bodek. What is demai? Right? So demai is a very, this is the key to understanding the whole issue of demai. Demai is a very fascinating, you know, combination. So on the one hand, if you look at the Gemara in Sota, Well, the Gemara in Sota just says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol did a survey. He took a poll, and he found out that people were not reliably being mafresh, you know, trumas and maisers. Or at least trumos, yes, but not trumas maiser, and not the other things either. So he was metakein demai. If you look at other Gemaras, like the Gemara in Shabbos, for example, right? I have that Gemara in Shabbos. I'm pretty sure I do. We'll get to it later for other reasons. Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Dalet. We have that somewhere. Chaf Gimel. Sorry. Yeah. On page 3,
line 24.
Yeah. We should have Numar Makom Stupat be. So the Gemara says, "My Mavarech." What bracha do you make on Neros Chanukah? The Gemara says, "Mevarech Hasher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu L'Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah." Okay, the Gemara says, "Veheichan Tzivanu." How can you say Hasher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu? It's only Din Rabbanan. How did the Rabbanu Shalom command Chanukah? Rav Avya Omar Milo Sasser. Rav Nechemya Amar Shalavichav Yagedchas Kenechav Yomrulach. Fascinating. Two different makoros. Also very interesting what the argument is. But okay. Then the Gemara says Masiv Avramram Hadamai Ma'arvin Bo Mishtatvim Bo Mevarchin Olav Zamnin Olav Mafrishin Osarom Ubeina Shmashos. We'll get, this is a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in Demai Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalid, which we have here on the page as well, but we're going to get to it later. So basically, with this Mishnah, one of the things the Mishnah says is that when you're mafresh demai, you don't need to be fully clothed. So the Gemara says, well, the implication of that is that you don't make a bracha. I amris kol megabana by bracha, hacha ki koya rom, heichem avarech. How could he make a bracha if he's not properly clothed? Vabi'inan. Says the Gemara Amar Abaya, Vadai de Divrayim by Bracha, Sofeg de Divrayim lo by Bracha. A Vadai Drabana needs a Bracha, like Neros Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, Kriyas Halel, right? However, a Sofeg Drabanan, that doesn't require a Bracha. How is the Gemara at the moment treating demai as if it is a suffek, right? It's a din suffek. We treat demai as a suffek. Suffek chulin, suffek tevel. And therefore, you have to be mafresh, but you don't make a bracha because it's not a mitzvah d'rabbanan b'torah zvada. That's Abaya's answer. So then the Gemara says, "Vayantav sheni to suffik devreimu by bracha." Either way, what about yantav sheni? That's also a kind of a suffik, and yet we do make brachos. Says the Gemara, "Hosam ki heched delolu zalzule be." We'll talk about it. Yantav sheni is a special din. If we wouldn't make a bracha, people wouldn't take it seriously. Is that what they mean? Is it pragmatic? I mean, you can make a bracha levatala in order to ensure compliance or serious perspective on it. Very strange. Or does it mean, no, you got Yantav Sheni wrong completely, right? The whole idea of Yantav Sheni is to kind of replicate or extend Yantav Rishon. Okay, I don't want to get into that right now. Maybe we'll talk more about it, but that's an important Gemara. But then the Gemara says a different answer. Rava Mar Rov Ami Aretz Ma'asri. Getting back to the demai, you didn't like Abaye's answer because that opens you up to Yantav Sheni Shogolios. Maybe you didn't like the answer of Lazazulebe. Not the pragmatic part or not the fundamental way, either way. So Rava wanted to give a different answer to explain why is it that demai, which is a takana de Rabbanan, why doesn't it get a bracha? So the answer that he gives is because Rov Amea Aretz Ma'asrane, meaning had it been a suffake, if there is a mitzvah, d'rabbanan, ala safek, gets a bracha. That's why Yontif Sheni Shel Galios gets brachas. However, if we're talking about a miut, meaning the likelihood that there needs to be a hafrasha here is a miut, because even though they did the survey, they weren't happy with the results, but the results were that Rov Ami Aretz Masrene, that the majority of Klal Yisrael does properly be mafresh Trumas Maestros. But they weren't happy. It was, 65%, and they wanted 100%, or they wanted 90% compliance. So they made this takana. Says Rava, since it's only a miut, there's no bracha. But had it been a suffix, there would have been a bracha. Okay, we'll get back to this. One of the fascinating issues is, and again, I'm not going to spend so much time on this because we want to get to other things. It's a big, big, massive topic if you want to do it exhaustively. But one of the interesting things is that if you look at a Abaye and Rava in this Gemara, and then you compare it to parallel Gemaras in Gittin, in Shabbos, in a few different places, what you'll find is that in like two places, Abaye speaks about Demai as a Safek, and Rava speaks about it as a Miut, I mean Rov Ma'asrene. And in two other places, they're flipped. Abaye speaks about Demai as a Miut, and Rava speaks about it as a Safek. And the Rishonim asked, they were aware of this. Bali Tosis asked, the Chachmei Svarad asked, the Achronim asked. What they do with it is interesting. I hope we'll get back to it. There doesn't seem to be a factual, Baruch Hashem, doesn't seem to be a factual debate. Meaning the survey of Yochanan and Kohen Gadol seems to, Lekula Alma produced the result that the majority of Ami Haaretz are Mafresh Trumas Maestros. The question is whether the fact that it's only a minority is halachically consequential. It's factually true. But did they say, listen, there's still not enough, the minority, abuse here is troublesome, and therefore we're treating this, as if it wasn't just a minority. Or no, or does the minority fact play a role? But let me say this way. If the minority fact plays a role, ironically, it could play a role in one of two opposite ways. And this is a key to understanding a lot of the issues in Demai, and in some cases, they may not even be mutually exclusive. Typically, we would think that if we treat Demai as like Rava on Shabbos, meaning as a miut, and not as a suffek, then you should even be more makel in Demai. It explains why we would be more makel, because it isn't even a suffek, right? It's less than that, right? Therefore, the idea that you should be makel is certainly reinforced. However, there's another way to look at it, and that is, if we're really worried, from the perspective of the facts, then maybe the fact that it was only a miut wouldn't be enough to make the gzeira anyway. The fact that we are concerned about full compliance or practically full compliance, right, reveals that we're not looking at this as suffix. We need a vadai. So instead of saying demai is even less than a suffix, what we might say is that demai on a drabbanan level is treated as a chiyu vadai. But the way to formulate it then is, and this is a little bit complicated, this is what opens up a lot of mixed evidence, is that whenever there's a suffix, or maybe whenever there's a miyut, then the chachamim were metakein midrabanan a vadai chi of hafrasha. Right? So for example, on the one hand, we'll talk more about this as we go through it, but I think I mentioned already last time when I was trying to explain what's one of the things that troubles me about applying in a Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe takol al yadam to demai. What bothered me was not only that it's drabbanan, and not only is it miyut, but that you might think that there's no real bacholos asuros even midrabbanan. It's not like tevel drabbanan, for example, if something grows in an otzitz, she'ena nakuv, right? So probably that's only, has a chiyuv afrasha drabana. That's tevel drabana. Or meiser yerek, as opposed to dagan tirosh yitzar, or maybe peros, right? Yerakos is only drabana. So the tevel on yerek is only drabana. Is demai tevel drabana? That's what was bothering me. Meaning, machilin laniyam lachsanya. Are you allowed to give niyam and achsanya tevel drabana? Or any other isur drabana? Certainly not. The very fact that machilin aniyam b'achsanya seems to point to the fact that we're not dealing with machalas asuras at all. What we're dealing with is a chiyuv hafrasha and maybe an isur gavra to eat without that hafrasha. So we say, you know what? We didn't make that takana, that chiyuv. We didn't impose that on aniyam b'achsanya. Had we classified this as machalas asuras drabanan, very unlikely that we could have made these distinctions. So on the one hand, it's miut. Secondly, there's evidence that it's not really, really machalas asuras, unless you square away those out, that evidence. There's a whole other Mishnah, the Mishnah that was quoted in the Gemara in Shabbos, and that we have here, if you turn the page, on page 4, right, Hadamai ma'arvin bo, bishtatvin bo, Mevarchen alav, mezamnen alav, mafrishenos, aharom, ben hashmashos, right? That whole Mishnah, and then you have the next Mishnah after that, the last item, machilin haniyim d'mai v'sachsanya d'mai. Both of those Mishnayas aren't just kulas, they seem to be more than that. They seem to establish that d'mai is not typically machalos asuros. That's why you can be ma'arev v'mishtatev bo. Meantime, it's talking about Eruvei Chatzeros and Shitufei Mavos. You have to have food. The idea of Eruvei Chatzeros and Shitufei Mavos is that you set aside meal, food that is common to all the people who share the courtyard of Mavui, to show that like they're one big, happy, integrated group. Therefore, it's not like little, separate reshuyos that each one has, but there's a common, a common reshus to all of them. So that's symbolically captured by the fact that you set aside food that they share. But you can't eat d'mai, can you? No, the answer is you could. You can't, but you can use it for the Eruv. Ma'arvin bo, mishtatvin bo. You're not allowed to make a bracha on machalas asuros, so you're at least not allowed to have a zimur according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it also means you're not allowed to have bracha rishona or bracha achrona. Fine. But you are allowed to make brachos on demai, not on niyam and achsanya. People for whom it's prohibited. Zamnin alav, right? Mafrishin osal rom, there's no bracha, that's what we discussed about in Rava. Ben hashmashos, you're not allowed to be mafrish trumas and maizers on Shabbos, because mechsik mitakein, looks like makam patish. So why can't you be mafrish gemai? Because there's no chefta shalisa, there's no machalas asuros. I mean, a lot of achronim say this. It's implicit in these makoros. That works very well with the fact that, there's not even a safek, really. It's a mir. That's one side of the coin. But there's a whole other side of the coin in which we're wondering, the other way to look at it is, so why are we bending over backwards for this miut? Moreover, if we were really going to treat, there's already a debate in the Rishonim, d'mai as a safek, then it should be, or as a miut, then it should be subject to many of the other rules, including in some cases, the din of Svek Sveika. There's actually a debate in the beginning. The first Mishnah in Masechet Dmai discusses a Kalin Shebidmai. The question is, what does Kalin mean? So the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, not the Rosh, says a Kalin Shebidmai that is when you have a Safek. Right? Whether or not it was Hefker or not. Safek Hefker, Safek Hufrash. So it's a Svek Sveka. But the Rambam Yad HaChazaka doesn't interpret Kalin that way. The Rash doesn't interpret Kalin that way. It sounds like they think, this is the question, whether is the din of Svek Sveka applicable to Demai or not? So on the one hand, as I say, you want to be tremendously makel in Demai, because it's even a Mia. On the other hand, you have all this evidence that we treat it as if it's a din drabanan b'taris vadai. So that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel comes in. Rabbi Yosef Engel has this, you know, not so large simon, where he discusses whether the Demai should be treated as a safek, or whether Demai is a chiyu vadai midrabanan shenitkan ala safek. As long as we don't know, then you're vadai obligated to be mafresh. Oh, what does this have to do with the case of the Gemara before? So now we get back. This is how one of his rayas is from the Gemara here on Vavam and Aleph. This Gemara that we read. What do we say? The Gemara said that Rab Zera, right, rethought his position about Tarova's Demai. He originally thought it was Asur. He said, I guess it can't be Asur, because otherwise, how would the Ribbono Shel Olam have allowed Rav Asi to eat it? Asks Rabbi Yosef Engel, this is a simple answer to that. It's the parallel opposite problem of what we just discussed on Zion Amud Beis. Maybe it's Kamishmaya Galya to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, that in this particular case, it was Hufrash. Just like the Shita Mekubetzos was saying, maybe it was Kamishmaya Galya to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that in that case, it was real Tevel. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, that's a good raya, that on a Drabana level, it doesn't make a difference. Kamishmaya Galya is irrelevant. Because in the end of the day, right, whether it was Hufrash or not, it's Tevua Shel Am Haaretz, and the Rabbanan, Midin Vadai, said that anytime we have a Safek, we don't have access to Kamishmaya Galya. If we have a Safek, then you're Vadai obligated to be Mafresh. So either way, that's a takola. Because it's a chiyu vadai drabanan. Just like we were saying before, the Shita Mekubetzos says that even if it's, that's a bigger chiddush, even if it's tevel, kamishmaya galya, it's not a takola, because according to klolei hachra, you're allowed to eat it. Here we're saying the opposite. Even if kamishmaya galya, we know that for sure that it's not Tevel, that it's, we know for sure that it's Chulin, but there's a Chiyuv to be Mafresh, this Chulin, because that's the Takana of Demai.
Why don't we just say Lo Bashamayim Hi? Why don't you apply that principle?
What do you mean?
What's the difference with Kami Shemai Izgai? We can't conduct Piskei Halacha based on Kami Gemara Shmai. We have to make the Achra and disregard the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Right. Well, we are, but this isn't a Achra. This is an inference from Siyata Deshmaya. That's what's so ironic about it. No, you're 100% right. If we were dealing with a human objective din, like a prescriptive din, then of course you're right. But none of these four cases are prescriptive dinim. All these four cases are cases of events that took place. that the Tanaim or the Amoraim drew inferences from their assumption about divine protection. So the question, but they drew halachic inferences from it. And the question is, how can you, the two questions, each in the opposite direction, are how can you derive a halachic inference from a divine intervention? Divine intervention, by definition, should depend on the Rabboni Shel Olam's knowledge. And that just skews the whole thing. What does that have to do with the halacha? He knows it's chulin, or he knows it's tevel. So essentially what the Shita Mekubetzus is saying is your answer, lo b'shamayim hi. But to apply lo b'shamayim hi to ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol al yadam, that's unbelievable. That's why I say it to me, it's shocking, but it's inspirational. That's a great Ikav Adin Asahar. That's a great Ish Halacha story. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's the Chiddush in it. And the same is true on the Rabbi Yosef Engel's side, except that's a little bit different. On the Rabbi Yosef Engel's side, what we're saying, he's saying a little bit different. He's saying that Midrabanan, there's a Chiyuv Vadai, as long as there's a human Safek. So you either way are violating the Drabanan. The Kamishmai Galia helps you on the Raisa level. But what's important about Rabbi Yosef Engel's Ha'ara here is that if Demai was nothing ever more than the Suffolk itself, then his Ha'ara wouldn't work. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's those two things. Now I want to talk a little more about Taroves Demai before we move on.
How do they permit the bracha? If Rov Mas remain, so
yeah.
When the bracha Shein Sricha, bracha Batola, how do they permit making the bracha on that HaFrasha?
We don't. That's the whole point. There's no bracha.
There's no bracha on Demai?
No. Right, because that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. You're Mafresh Arom.
Yeah.
So the Gemara is Hoya Machanecha Kadosh. So you don't make a bracha.
But the Mishnah says Mevorachim Olav.
No. Mevorachim Olav means you make
Hamotzi.
Hamotzi, Birchas Hamazon, Birchas Zimon.
Not Hafreshes Demai.
No. When it says Mafresh in Arom, that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos, means that there's no bracha on the Hafrasha.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the question. Why not?
Rav, why is it not, does that not apply to doing a mitzvah? Why is it only the assumption of making a bracha? Could someone imagine taking a lulav and esrog when they're arum? Is the kedusha of Am Yisrael, albeit without a bracha? So why would this apply as an assumption? If Hayamachan Kadosh applies.
You're asking why should Hayamachan Kadosh affect only the bracha and not the hafrasha itself?
Right, or any mitzvah. In other words, how does
yeah, so I think what it shows is that the hafrasha here is a matir. It's not really a mitzvah. I think you're right. It's not just the bracha. Again, the Gemara mentions it about the bracha because they're interested in it. Remember, the Gemara comes to it in Shabbos from a different point of view. They're interested in Ner Chanukah and whether you make a bracha and how you can say Asher Kedushanu B'Zosav V'Tzivanu. That's how they get into it. So they're interested in the bracha. I think you're asking a good question. You're saying, well, V'Hoya Machanecha Kadosh, why does that apply? Why does that apply only in a bracha or even in a mitzvah? So number one, there's still a difference between a bracha and a mitzvah in the sense that you have Shem Hashem. And I think Shem Hashem in particular, you know, is a davar shebikdusha, which requires v'haya machanecha kadosh. Tashmishe mitzvah or a maisa mitzvah are different than a maisa kedusha. However, maybe it shows, in addition, that what we're dealing here with isn't even a mitzvah drabanan, but a matir. Could also be that. Okay, so now let's talk about taroves demai itself for a minute. And we'll get back to the question of whether this is safek, nitkanala safek, is it more mekil, more machmir? According to what I'm suggesting, actually, again, there are different perspectives about demai. We'll look at it very quickly when we finish this up next week in Mir Tashem. But again, whether we treat it as a safek, mostly, whether we treat it as a lakula, meaning even less than a suffek, is a mi'ir, whether we treat it l'chumra, typically those are perceived as three mutually exclusive perspectives. But according to my point of view, let's say, they're not. I mean, there are different aspects here. It's nitkan al safek as a chovas hafrashta, but not as macholas asuros, the Torah's vanai. So you may end up getting, which actually would be very helpful, because the objective evidence does seem to signal this, you have mixed impressions. In other words, if you, you know, there are definitely Rishonim who consistently understand Demai Lekula, and there are those who understand Demai Lechumra and Achronim as well. But I'm just saying, if you look at some, you have the mixed evidence, which is very disturbing. But the answer is, as a Cheftza Shel Iser, Macholos Asuros, even the Drabanan, right, we're Mako. But as a Chovas Afrasha, and therefore an Iser Gavra, you know, it could be that we're Machmir. And in the middle, we sometimes treat it as a Zafek, because if you didn't have the Hagdara of Safek, then you just wouldn't have this. That's kind of the underpin, almost like Bedikas Chametz in that respect. It's a Nitkan al Safek. You know, we don't treat it, we treat it as a Vadai when there's a Safek. The Safek is the precondition, it's the prerequisite for being Demai, which then gets treated in a different way. So it's the Halacha's view, I think, is just much more complicated than people, or at least according to some Rishonim, than people think, but it actually is very logical. Always logical. Okay. Any questions so far? We're good.
I think, Rabbi, it seems like the Gemara fits more in the lines of Shit Mikubetzis, because I what I don't understand Rav Engel is that what Rav Zeir seems to be asking is on a more Rabbana kind of question. How, if the Rabbana Efshar Gazru Al HaTarovis Demai, had the Rabbanan been could the Rabbanan have been gozer something and Hashem would have let it happen? It sounds more like a Derabbanan. Why would, where in the Lashon does he kind of see they were saying, oh, is it a Demai question? Especially if we're going to, I mean, we're now about to talk about Tarovis, so that might make it, might change the understanding here, but it seems like a Derabbanan question, and the Shita Kibetzis fits better with the flow of the Gemara. Each time we're asking, how could the, when the Rabbanan are gozer something, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is steps away. So would it seem that the Shita Gemetzis would fit better? I don't understand really how Rav Engel would read the Gemara.
No, I'm saying, but because these are two opposite, I'm saying they're coming to the two Gemaras are being set up in opposite way. That's why I call it a parallel opposite. Meaning the second Gemara, the end Gemara, the Zion of Base Gemara, is a problem. The Shita Gemetzis' question is, again, the problem there is to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Misayeya and treated as a Takala. I mean, the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair didn't eat.
Right.
And Shittim Kubetzis is saying, maybe he didn't eat because it was really Tevo, not because it was Demai. And then his answer is, you know, if you're allowed to eat the Torah's Demai, then it wouldn't be a Takana, even if it was Kamishmaya Galia Tevo. But that, remember, that's the only case where there really was an actual, or that's the case where there was an intervention, right, and where he actually was treated as a takala. All the other cases are, how come, or what do we infer from the fact that it wasn't a takala and that the person was eating it, right?
Right.
Ravasi and whatever ate the Shkita Shalkuti, Rav Zera ate the Beitzim, you know, Hamatzimakos Bayayin, and Rav Meir ate the Yerek, you know, in Beitcha. Right, and the question there is, you know, that the inference there is they must be Mutter. So then the Rav Yosef Engel is saying, why must they be Mutter? Demai is a suffix, and we're talking about the Rabbonu Shel Olam not protecting them. He didn't protect them because they didn't need protecting because it wasn't really Tevel. We don't know that it might not. We think it might be Tevel, but he knows that it wasn't Tevel. So that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel comes in to say that that's not enough, because the Kamishmaya Galia of the Rabbonu Shel Olam doesn't neutralize the Takana Derabanan that human beings are obligated to follow, right? That goes on top of that. Right. So why isn't that okay? I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just the Lashon sounds more like the Shita Kubetzes in Vavim and Aleph, that it's about a Rabbanan process, not a Demai-specific, that Demai must have be different than any other Rabbanan case.
Right, I hear that.
That's what I'm saying.
He's saying, right, I hear that. Meaning the Shita Kubetzes, it's more of a general din, the Halacha determines this, not Loba Shemayim. It's like you're saying like that. Even though it is about Hashkacha, so you'd think, Loba Shemayim, even in Hashkacha? That's the thing. But whereas you're saying here, it sounds, Rabbi Yosef Engel's pshat is, it's a din and d'mai.
Right.
It wouldn't necessarily apply to other Drabanans, Alasafi.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that. Okay. Good. So let's talk about Tarova's, I see my time is almost up. So let's talk about Tarova's d'mai in light of this just a little bit for a minute. So the Gemara ends up saying that there is no gzeira of Tarovas Dmai. But I think I mentioned this last week already. There seems to be a major machlokas between the Rambam, as the Radvaz reads it certainly, I think correctly, and Rashi, even more explicit in the Meiri, about the nature of this din and whether it's mechudash. What's mechudash? The Havamina, that Dmai is nitkan, even in a case of of taroves, or the maskana that it's not. So the answer should depend, and I believe, somebody asked me this last week, it should depend on whether or not, I well asked this last week, whether or not there's tam or not, right? Meaning, is it what kind of taroves are we talking about? Are we talking about a taroves where you can taste the Yisr, or not? So if you look at Rashi, and even more so the Meiri, it sounds like they think that the typical din of Tarova's Demai is a case where there's Tam. And the Gemara says in the continuation that in the case of Seor and Tavlin, there that's different. So Orin Tavlin, the Gemara says, that's the next line is in the Gemara. Shiny Tavlin, Shiny Seor v'Tavlin, Delataima Vida. So it sounds like they're even more like that the dominant, they're the dominant ingredient. They define the entire Taroves. But a regular Taroves, even if there's Tam Shel Ha'Isur, we're going to say Tarova's Demai is permissible. Okay? Whereas the Rambam, if you look again just in the Mar Makomos here, on page 2, Rambam Hilchos Maaser Perikud Gimel Halacha Yud Ches?
Line 17.
That's where it starts, right?
Yeah.
So go to line 19, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Im haya davar, everybody have that?
Yeah.
Shechay b'dmai shenisarev kagon tavlenu sa'ar, the Rambam says, ho v'tamo nikar enam b'teilin, v'nimseis kol ha'tarovas chayavas b'dmai. The Rashi and the Meiri say that the thing about sa'ar and tavlen is that tamam ikar. The Rambam says that tamam Nikar v'lo batel. Look at the Radvaz for a minute, the next century. V'ima yadavar zeklal b'kol yisurin shabitorah shatavlin shenosin tam v'nikar b'kol akadera v'china sa'or shenosin tam v'nikar b'isa ena batel li olam v'kol tarovas chayev esbidmai. So you have the, it seems like you have the following machlokas. I just want to thank each one. I guess we'll stop here and then we'll continue with this next one. We have both Mar Makomo still. So this is the way it goes. According to Rashi and the Meiri, it seems like Tarova's Demai is always a case where the Tam is Nikar. And yet, no, let me say it this way. It's always a case where there's Tam. And therefore, if we were judging Demai on the basis of Kol Torah Kula, you would always say that there's Tarova's Demai should be Osir, which was the Havamina of Reb Zeira. Remember, Reb Zeira said, how can you eat this stuff? It's Tarova's Demai. Right before he rethought it? Why did it come so trippingly off? How did he know that Tarova's Demai? Why did he think that Tarova's Demai is Osir? According to Rashi and the Meiri, the answer is simple. Because it's just that it's the klal of Kol Torah Kula. It's just the regular din of Tam Kikar. The Havamina isn't peculiar. Ah. But then the Maskana becomes important. What did the Gemara say? He reinvestigated. He realized that his Muskal Rishon was wrong because he had so much faith in the piety of Reb Zeira and the fact that he would be vouchsafed divine protection. So he came to the conclusion that what? That Tam Ki Ikar doesn't work in Demai. Of course, if it's Tam Ikar, not just Ki Ikar, it's not just Nikar, in other words, but it's the dominating ingredient, that's a different sort. Davlin is different. What comes out, according to Rashi and according to the Meiri, this is an expression of the Kula of Demai. Right? It's only a miut. We're already pushing it with Demai. And maybe even more so. It's not Macholos Asuros. And therefore, the din of Tam Kikar doesn't apply. Tam Kikar applies when you have an Oser, when you have a real Chefza Shel Isner. Now when you have a Chovas Afrasha. Chovas Afrasha depends on whether or not you can physically see it. If it's not staring you in the face, even though Al Pidin, from an Achila point of view, it's present as Tam, there's no Chovas Afrasha, no Chovas Agavra. But according to the Rambam, we have to flip everything. Because it seems, according to the Rambam, that the Yichus of Tavlin and Saor is what? Tam Kikar. That it's Nikar. That it's not Batel. Which means that the typical case of Tarova's Demai is what? It's a case where there's no Tam Ki Ikar. So Reb Zeira thought originally that Tarova's Demai is going to be Osir, even though there's no Tam Ki Ikar. We're going to be more machmir in Demai than we are in regular Isurim Delaisa. That's very strange. Now, didn't make the final cut because once he was impressed with Reb Zeira and he reinvestigated, he came to the conclusion that unless you have real Tam, if you have real Tam, then we treat it like other things. But if it's even less than that, we're not going to say the Gzeira of Dmai. But what was the Havamina? The answer is the Havamina was, I think, just like we're being Oser, even though there's only a miut of a chance, meaning less than 50% chance. There's a rov ame'art ma'asrin, the afal pichein, we're being machmir. So we're going to be machmir, even in the tarovis, which doesn't reflect through Tam, the presence of the Demai. So again, to sum up, Rashi and the Meiri become an interesting expression for the Kula of Demai, whereas the Rambam, according to the Radvaz, at least in the Havamina of the Gemara, becomes an important expression of the Chumra of Demai. And we'll see in the Rambam going forward And the Rambam almost always ignores the Rov. He always treats Demai as if it's a Safek, meaning in a Chomer way. Okay, so we'll stop here. I want to pick up with other this problem of Tarov's Demai a little bit next time, and then we'll move on to some other issues of Demai and some issues of Eretz Yisrael that come up on the page.